heard about a third fight between you and Apollo.
How do you know all this?
I'm a son. I want you to train me.
Your father was special. I don't know if you are. See this guy here? That's the toughest opponent you're ever gonna face.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, somebody help!
If I fight, you fight.
Bring back everything that's ever hurt you. You belong here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cinemarcade. This is the podcast about movies, video games, and the sparks that fly when those worlds collide. I am the long-lost son of Steve Guntley, the world's greatest podcaster, and I'm just trying to live up to his legacy somehow. Who's joining me today?
Hi, I am Justin, an old man who just doesn't know if I still have it in me.
Fair. And who else is here?
I'm just J-Ban.
Just J-Man, that's it. That's all we need.
It's an alliteration. It's good.
We are excited to be joined by a special guest today. Who is joining us today?
Hi, I'm a lesser-known staircase in Philadelphia, Sid Desai. Happy to be here.
You're the staircase like to a deli. Yeah. Yeah. You're easier to run up, but still rewarding. Sid Desai is here. We're very excited. Local improv impresario. We're very excited that you could join us on the show today to talk about
Now I
Creed.
Want a sandwich.
You want a sandwich?
Like a deli sandwich.
You want to run up the stairs to go get a sandwich?
How about a knuckle sandwich?
No.
This movie has a lot of them. This game has a lot of them.
I'm not the shelf.
For the record, fuck that shelf. Okay. All right. That shelf
we'll explain that part later.
That shelf had it coming. That's right. We are concluding our Rocky miniseries today by talking about 2015's Creed, which was directed by Ryan Coogler. It's written by Ryan Coogler and Aaron Covington. And it stars Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, Tessa Thompson, Tony Bellew, Graham McTavish, and Felicia Rashad. Now, I do want to get one thing out of the way right at the top. I was prepared to have to put an embargo on Justin and his Creed references, as in Scott Stapp, Florida, grunge metal icons of the early 2000s. But it turns out Creed not really in your wheelhouse, so I didn't really need to worry.
Yeah. All right. My entire knowledge of Creed comes from the Creed memes of the last few months.
All right. Well, I was worried, but now I can welcome you to the
something
podcast.
Something will take us higher, I think.
With arms wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a Creed song.
That's the name of the Creed biopic, because they're never named after the band themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I want to see that movie. It's just about like trashy Florida men, like with swords, probably. I don't know.
With swords?
I assume. I don't know why.
What do you think happens in Florida?
Sword stuff. It is the leading capital of the United States of death by samurai sword, and that's true. So I don't know.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know.
I think you're making that up.
Why would I make that up?
Because you're you.
I've never made up a thing in my life. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know Steve from the numerous improv shows we've worked in,
where I have never made up a thing. Yes, improv is heavily scripted and fact-based. Yes, we're talking about Creed today, a movie I deeply, deeply love. I was so excited to get to revisit this. I'm glad this kind of fell into this series. You know, we've talked about it. We've covered three of the Rocky movies for this series. Of course, there are nine of them in total, so we're getting an interesting little cross-section of this series, because the three that we watched were very down-to-earth, realistic, kind of based in human emotion, and had almost no training robots at all. And now, Sid, you haven't really seen any of the Creed or Rocky movies before this, right?
Yeah, I've only seen the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie, but that was in the early
2000s. You haven't seen Rocky?
No, but I did listen to your podcast about Rocky, so I feel like I have a good idea.
Okay, you're caught up then, yeah.
Hey, you know what? I hadn't seen Rocky before this either, so.
Yeah, hey, we're introducing it to the world. I mean, I love this series. It's made me want to go back and just like do the whole thing, fill in all the ones in between.
Like there's a lot of gaps.
There's a lot of gaps. It jumps around and you miss and it's interesting because you can lift out those middle movies and just do the three that we've done and have a pretty cohesive series.
Yeah.
But it is more rewarding if you go through the entire journey.
everybody basically dies between 1 and 6.
Yeah, yeah. We lost another one between 6 and 7, too. Yeah, R.I.P. Pauly. You know, he still gets bottles of booze left at his grave, which seems inappropriate poor for Roses. An alcoholic. Yeah. But yeah, but Creed, is, you know, we talked last week about Rocky Balboa, which is a movie I think we all liked, but also we struggled a little bit with the fact of like, all right, this is very similar to the original movie, and it's not really doing it. It's kind of resting a little bit too heavily on nostalgia for the series. And Creed does, I think, a pretty interesting job of paying homage to the series, of like showing reverence to the series, but it is not like... it is not indebted to that series at all. It is very much doing its own thing, and it still feels kind of fresh and energized.
I think it's definitely doing its own thing, and I also think that it's really interesting the different directions they took with Creed or Adonis, and just having him be a sort of somebody coming from both the quote-unquote the streets as well as coming from wealth.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was an interesting play to have him both have street cred as a child who grew up in the foster care system and also being like living this wealthy life in LA.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got a little bit of both. I mean, this is a character that could not be more different from Rocky. Like, as we've gotten to know Rocky over these movies, Rocky is very low key. He's very kind of self-effacing and humble. He's not the brightest guy in the world, but he's a hard worker. Whereas Donnie Creed is angry. He's very smart. He's very focused. He's got a big chip on his shoulder. He's got a lot to prove. You know, he's kind of, he's still got a little bit of like Rocky's sort of jocularity and his like people skills. You know, he's like a charming dude, but, yeah. But he's got a lot of anger to him too. You know, I think that makes for a really interesting kind of take on this story.
Yeah. He only punches one security guard, which is more than Rocky has punched.
That's true. So, yeah.
I think. Look, I don't know what happened in five of the movies.
The fifth movie is, it's just like, the subtitle of that is a security guard rampage. basically, he's just going to every nearby Walmart.
Like the antithesis to Paul Blart Mall Cop?
Exactly that. He's the reason Paul Blart needs to parade that mall.
Same universe, actually.
Same universe. The PBCU. Yeah, of course. So, you know, Rocky Balboa came out in 2006. It was politely received and was successful enough, but it didn't really reignite interest in the Rocky franchise quite how anyone hoped, mostly because that movie feels very much like the final chapter. You know,
yeah,
that feels
100%,
like...
100%. It feels like the final chapter.
It feels like Rocky's saga is done. And so it was announced that the series would return and instead focus on Rocky, the son of Rocky's rival, Apollo Creed. And most people dismissed this idea as a quick cash-in. But this wound up being both a major hit and the film that kind of brought this franchise back into the public prominence in a pretty big way. And so we need to start talk about the director here, Ryan Coogler. Really exciting, cool guy. He was only 25 when he made his first film, Fruitvale Station. That came out in, I think, 2010 or 12, I believe. And that is a true life story about a young man who was killed by the police in a bus station in Oakland. And it starred a young actor named Michael B. Jordan, who at this point was kind of only known for like Friday Night Lights, a couple of other like The Wire, a couple TV shows as a child actor. And so that movie got a lot of attention on the indie circuit, both for the performances and for the directing. And immediately Ryan Coogler was like this hot property, and they offered him this film, which Coogler saw immediately as like a starring vehicle for Michael B. Jordan. Like, this is obviously the guy to do this. They reached out to Sylvester Stallone, who gave not only his full blessing, he did a pass on the script, and he agreed to return as Rocky in a supporting role, which would work out pretty well for him. This film was a huge hit when it came out. It grossed $100 million on a $35 million budget, and it kind of announced just like a lot of like movie star potential, a lot of franchise potential. Like, Michael B. Jordan was suddenly like the most promising young guy. Like, he's really kind of making a movie star play here. And Ryan Coogler got this huge blank check that would lead to him getting the Black Panther franchise at Marvel. And weirdly, for a guy whose career has been so impactful, he's just had those four films. It's Fruitvale Station.
He's really young, though. He's only 37.
He's very young. Yeah, he still has plenty of time. But he's got Fruitvale Station. He's got Creed. He's got two Black Panther movies. And that's all he's done so far.
never thought of myself as really young before, but
yeah, yeah. Deal with it.
As a director, 37 is really young.
Yeah.
Most directors don't get to make their first movie until they're in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
At least not their studio movie. But it's really interesting. Ryan Coogler, like, I swear to God, I am not a crier when it comes to movies, and this man knows how to make me tear the fuck up. Like in everything, like in Black Panther and then this movie, like I like teared up like three times. I'm just like, I was mentioning Rocky Balboa last week. I wanted to see more of the father son relationship, and now you've got this surrogate father son relationship, and they really double down on it, and it's just so emotional.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's almost too emotional. But like, I'm like, I know what you're doing, giving Rocky cancer, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm still tearing up.
Where did, like, they kind of wrote away his son. What about little Marie and her son?
Yeah, we never really follow up on them.
They're just friends.
You know, they're friends. They're in the neighborhood, I assume, you know, so they're hanging around. But, you know, I think this movie really manages to kind of have its cake and eat it, too, where it does very much feel like it is a Rocky movie. It has Rocky as a very prominent character. He has a really good story arc in this. But this is not entirely a Rocky movie. This is the start of its own thing. You can see it almost right away. Like, look at the fighting styles, like, in the physicality between the two actors that we've seen so far. So Sylvester Stallone, very strong, very solid, very slow in his approach.
There's a really funny part where, like they're doing the fist bump, and Sylvester Stallone's hand is, like, double the size of Michael B. Jordan's hand.
He's huge. He's just, like, he's not even, like, a tall guy. I think he's, like, a 5'7" guy, but he's just broad. And
5'11". Rocky is 5'11".
Oh, he's 5'11". Oh, excuse me.
I know this
okay.
because they constantly put it on the other video games that we were playing.
Okay. That's okay. True. I was forgetting. I know some of these big action stars are, like, quite a bit shorter than you would expect. Like,
I don't know how tall Sylvester Stallone is, but I do know how tall Rocky is.
Fair. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, they cannot prove this on the movie.
In the game, as we were going through the different Rockies, for some reason, I was waiting for the height to go up. Like, as you get older, you just slowly grow, and that's how it works. It's not. I haven't grown in a long time.
So, wait, do you think, like, Rocky 2, he should be taller than he is in Rocky 1?
I don't know why, but I was just like, oh, yeah, the weight went up. The height goes, oh, no, the height didn't go up.
It's a very
up.
Anime way of power scaling.
Yeah. I mean, that's legitimately how it usually goes.
Is going over 9,000? Am I using that right? Is that an anime thing I used right? Hey, all right. Okay.
It's an anime parody thing, but.
Yeah. I know things. Kind of.
So if I can
please
introduce a bit of controversy.
Okay.
I thought that some of the things in this movie did not feel earned to me.
Interesting.
No, that's,
I was giving it a bit of a pass since there's like six movies leading up to it.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, there are some things that maybe are already established that I don't know. But I felt like the title character, Donnie Creed, was just pretty one note to me. Like, because he just, like, really wants to fight. And in the language of this movie, this movie simultaneously wants you to think that boxing is the best thing in the world and everybody should want to box, and that's, like, the thing to aspire to be. Which is very in line with the franchise, but also simultaneously all of the wise, like, advice givers in his life are like, boxing isn't everything.
Right.
There's more to life. And he's just kind of stubbornly saying, like, no, I just want to box. And the movie never really justifies it. And I kept waiting for that. And also, like, he's rich. Like, he is.
Yeah.
He grew up in juvie and stuff.
Yeah.
That wasn't great. But, like, when he just, like, quits his very comfortable lifestyle to go box, and everybody's just like, why do you want to be here? You don't need this. You don't need this for your survival. He's like, no, this is what I want to do. And I just wanted
I think he's trying to connect with his father.
He is.
Like, I feel like that's the whole premise of the whole movie. And that's why it's called Creed, is because Apollo Creed was such a bigger than life superstar. And he grew up without him. And so, like, he's finding a way to connect with a father that he's never known.
Yeah.
And again,
or
knew
about.
What?
Or even knew about
for most of his life. Yeah.
Well, I guess half of his life. He's known for a while at this point, at least a decade.
And he's also very conflicted about where he comes from. I think that the most telling point in this movie is pretty early on, where he is, he just quit his job. He's getting ready to go leave for Philly to like make a name for himself. He's watching an old fight video of Rocky and Apollo. And when he stands up to kind of mimic the moves, he is not mimicking Apollo. No, he is fighting Apollo. He wants to be down, Rocky. Yeah. And he wants to, so he's working out some rage about his father. Now, as a little context, since you haven't watched any of these movies, we didn't know that Apollo Creed cheated on his wife. That was not something that ever got mentioned. He died in part four.
He was killed in the boxing ring.
He was killed in the ring
very tragically.
Ivan Drago.
This amazing montage.
Yes, yes.
Oh, where Rocky and him become like cemented the bromance, like the meme where you see them like clasping arms.
Yeah, yeah.
That's from that movie.
And I mean, it's really. I think he's working through a lot of personal issues in that way. So he's trying to exercise his demons. He's trying to prove that he's worthy of this name that kind of fell into his lap. He's also got this chip on his shoulder because he was this kid. And he's sort of an underdog from both barrels in this sort of a weird way. Like, because he was like this lower class street kid, and he has that anger and he has that chip on his shoulder. And then he also did live the second half of his life in pretty nice privilege, so he's also underrated in that way, because now he's just like a pretty rich boy trying to cash in on his dad's name. So
he's got those two.
He's so pretty. Oh my god, so beautiful. Yeah,
like him and Tessa Thompson. Oh my god, you're like so beautiful.
But yeah. That's the other thing. Like, Tessa Thompson is just such a like character in this movie that's just like, let me ask you about your feelings so you can tell them to the camera. Like, I really wanted more of her, especially when they established that like she's going through her own journey.
Right.
Like, being a singer that is like experiencing hearing loss and stuff. And I'm like, oh, cool. This will be another character that can grow alongside.
Well, let me tell you about Creed 2.
Well, yeah, maybe that's setting up for that.
I would say, watch Creed 2 and Creed 3, they're both excellent, and you get a lot more of her and like that specific journey that she's going on.
A good time for me to announce that I'm going to quit my job and become a boxer full time?
You know what? I saw you play in this game. I think you're ready. I think you're ready to go.
What we established during the game was that my arms aren't long enough for that. I don't think I'm set up to be a boxer.
Yeah, you need freakishly long arms.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. We don't talk about the game yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Or you have short arms. End of story. Okay.
No, but I mean, I think Michael B. Jordan's performance in this movie is just so charismatic and so watchable. Like, I think he's able to convey, like, being sort of shut off and sort of shut down and, like, kind of putting up this cool front a lot of ways while still exposing the vulnerability. Yeah, I love where he gets the freak out before his first fight and needs to be cut out of his gloves so he can take a shit.
Yeah.
Let me say that my gripes with it is how the character is written and not in Michael B. Jordan's performance, which I thought was wonderful.
Such an incredible physicality in this movie. Like, unbelievable. The way he moves so fast.
Yeah.
And he dodges so quickly. He is, even if you don't like follow boxing very closely and don't look at all the different things, like the arcs of the arms or how many folks connecting.
When he got knocked down and he was just like slow-mo and his face was like smushed to the side. I was like, how did they shoot that? That was an amazing shot.
Oh,
that's literally a note. I think I wrote that verbatim. Like, how did they shoot that?
Such a cool way. Like, compare how they shoot the boxing scenes in this movie compared to the other Rocky movies, which tends to be more from a distance or at least like from a middle distance. So we're not really getting up in there. The fight scenes in this are mostly like one takes. Like, they're really dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, the camera's kind of moving in and moving out. We're really getting into the action.
Well, and it's really interesting that like comparing Ryan Coogler with, say, Rocky Balboa or Rocky One.
Yeah.
Like when Rocky Balboa and Stallone is directing, or what was the director of the first one?
John Avildsen.
Yeah. When he was directing, there was just such a like there's a dynamism that Ryan Coogler like exhibits early on with the so it's interesting because I feel like Creed is actually two movies. It's like the first movie is like the first 50 minutes and then the second movie where it's like him connecting with Stallone. And I really feel like they did a pretty good job of what something that could have been very clumsy.
Yeah,
because this is a long movie. It's 2 hours 13 minutes. Yeah. I think and it definitely like I was like, I've seen this movie and I really liked this movie. And I was like, when I saw, God damn, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes. Better start this movie now.
Yeah.
And it just sailed by, which I was really surprised by. And it's really interesting about him, the way they did the montages.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
I think there's three montages, and they're very different montages. And we only get the Rocky score at the end of the final fight, and we get it for approximately 2 seconds.
Man, they really make you earn that, and I love it. I love it. They do not use that lightly. They do not let it overwhelm anything, but they knew exactly when to drop that score.
I think they did a really good job of portraying that this isn't Rocky's era. Like, one, you get Michael B. Jordan going, oh, it's on my phone.
Yeah,
and it's like, on the cloud. Yeah. Like, oh, it's in the cloud. And I was like,
we'll cloud.
I wrote down so many times, like, oh, this franchise knows how to do a training montage. Like,
yeah.
They clearly nailed it. Every training montage, I was like, yeah. And the other thing I really love about this movie is Rocky. Like, Sylvester Stallone steals the spotlight in every scene he's in.
I really wanted to ask you about this because you haven't seen any of the Rocky movies. What is your kind of relationship with Stallone prior to this, seeing this?
I have not seen him in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
The things I've seen him in, I think, are just like where he's playing a cameo to play a Rocky type character,
or he's like just a muscle man, or like a, you know, he was, that's one of those things. Like, by the time Rocky Balboa came out in 2006, we were talking about that last week. It's just like, people had sort of forgotten that he's an actor. You know, he's become so much just like an action star who uses one-liners and shoots big guns. Like, you forget that this guy's actually a really good actor. And then to see him in Rocky Balboa, where he's great, and then this movie, which I think is his finest hour, 100%. Like, I think he is wonderful in this film. It's kind of shitty because, all right, so Creed came out in 2015, which is like right at the height of the Oscars so white controversy, where the Oscars were only nominating like all white actors, all white films, things like that. Here comes this movie, which is hugely critically acclaimed. It's successful. It's like a classic, like, Oscar movie. It's directed by a black man, written by two black men, stars a black man. And the only nomination it gets is for Sylvester Stallone. You want to be a little mad about that, but also he's so good in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also want to say, like, I did not know that context, but for the listeners, I am a person of color.
Yes.
Before I say this, but I did find Rocky's character arc more compelling than any of the other characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, Creed is watchable and he's fun, but that's because Michael B. Jordan is watchable and fun. And the character feels pretty, like, I don't think his character changes that much during the film. He does, like, nominally kind of be more accepting of his father's name, but, like, that doesn't really change how he sees the world. He just wants to be a great boxer and continues to want to be a great boxer. But Rocky's journey of being like, you know what, like, what's the line? He says, like, Creed says, like, if I fight, you fight, or something
right.
like that. Yeah. And I love that
lovely
line.
Moment.
And
yeah.
You see that it affects Rocky and it changes
yeah.
his perspective.
Yeah.
On
and
the world.
So one of the, like, I love the part when they're like, he's talking to Creed and he's saying, one punch at a time, one round at a time. And like, you know, just like one moment at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes. I'm like,
I wanted to ask you too, because we just watched Rocky Balboa recently. Mm-hmm. Like, how, what do you feel about the character, like, from that movie to this movie, and like how much Rocky's changed?
It shows, because he was definitely a pretty low key person in the first two movies, really. Well, the first movie he was definitely more energetic, and the last movie he kind of, you could feel he was an old man.
Yeah.
But then this movie did such a good job of portraying him as like an older man. Like, the way he just kind of, like, he's talking to Adrian at her grave and it's like, you know, my back keeps me from sleeping sometimes.
Yeah.
the whole cancer thing, and where he they have the reveal of it to Michael B. Jordan's character, to Adonis.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, yeah, you know, everything I got's moved on. It's like, so if you don't do this, you'll die. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he's like, are you okay with that? And he's like, yeah, I think so. And
but he's just, yeah. But he's so scared. And I think from watching Rocky Balboa, like, and seeing how angry he was,
so,
right?
Well, he's so scared of the chemotherapy that Adrian went through. Because, like, when somebody is dying and they put them through chemotherapy and there's no chance, it's a very sad sight. Because the chemotherapy is so dangerous. But it's so interesting about, like, Rocky. I feel like the way they filmed Rocky in this was they were trying to mitigate his Stallone's star power. So, like, they would put him in the edges of frames a lot of the time, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because they were like, he's such a larger than life figure that they had to do these framing issues in order to just get him to be minimized just a tiny bit, because he's such a star.
Well, and it's really cool the way they approach him too, because remember in the last movie, which is almost 10 years before this one, he's still feeling a little bit lost. He's still got like that one last little drive to prove himself. And you see him in this movie and he feels pretty comfortable with the life that he has. Yeah. Like he's very
spent.
He's not training Donnie because he needs to pass things on to the next generation or anything like that. He's doing it as a favor to his friend. And because this kid needs his help and he's like a good guy.
Yeah, because genuinely turns him down at first. Yeah. And I think, sorry to get sidetracked a little bit, J-Ban, but one of the things that I thought was interesting was similar to how you're saying, was how they introduce him in this movie.
Yeah.
In Rocky Balboa, they come to him and he's, I think the first time we see him or very early on, he's like in the restaurant telling old boxing stories. He's laughing. He's kind of moving around. And the first time we see him in this movie, he's slowly unloading the supplies for the restaurant from the van.
No, it's earlier than that. It is in the restaurant still, but it's like after hours when Donnie comes to meet him for the first time. Like he comes upstairs, but he's still in the restaurant. Yeah. He is still like, he's comfortable in the restaurant, you know, and we've seen between the last movie and this one, he lost the last kind of important person in his life, which is Polly, who's now buried next to Adrian. So like, he knows he's kind of the last guy around and he's sort of comfortable with it. You know, the two moments where I think Stallone just fucking kills this movie is, in the scene where he gets his diagnosis, heartbreaking, like seeing the calculus going through his head of like, I don't really understand chemotherapy, but I saw what it did to the love of my life and I'm not going to do it. He's so scared and so vulnerable in that moment without like gilding the lily on it. And then the final moment of them going up the stairs, I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about that last moment of them like slowly walking him up the stairs. It's like, oh, dude, come on.
Getting the opposite of what we've been getting through most of that part of the movie was Michael B. Jordan going, like egging him on. And when he goes to take a rest, he's like, no, we got to keep going. We can't stop. No breaks.
And it's so interesting because it mirrors sort of like it's such a tragic in Stallone's life when his son Sage died in pre-production and he almost didn't make the movie because but Ryan Coogler was like, I'm going to focus on the father-son relationship. I'm going to make it something that you could be proud of as your legacy of Rocky. And I thought it was really interesting because like for me the moment when like Rocky is because Rocky's still that guy that sometimes says stupid things and he's all like and he says and he beats himself up about it when he's like, hey, the family that we were gonna have that was a dream that wasn't real. And it was just so heartbreaking because like sometimes and I think it's so fucking hard to script a fight that feels like a real fight.
Yeah.
Because in real fights, you say stupid shit. And in movies, like, your tolerance for people doing stupid things is really low. And I felt like that was a really well-crafted situation where people could, it felt like a real fight.
Yeah.
The heart of this movie is Donnie and Rocky's relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
And that doesn't really blossom until the second half of this movie. And that was kind of my gripe, is that, like, I wish that had just been introduced a little bit earlier, because in the first half of this movie, I was having trouble rooting for Donnie. Mm. I just wanted a little bit more
I think you're exactly right. And I think that's why they show him in going into the L.A. Delphi gym is like his father's gym. And he gets his ass laid out because he's not prepared to fight. Mm-hmm. He's not prepared to be a fighter.
And he's got a shitty attitude. Yeah.
He's got such a shitty attitude. He feels entitled. And I was so I was watching this with Christian and he's a boxer as a kid. But he was also he was like, yeah, people would do that. People would come to the boxing ring and like be like, tech bros and be like, hey, I want to fight, and like and they'd always get their asses laid out.
Yeah,
but I wanted that moment where he gets a little bit of an ego check, like, and like kind of there's the moment where he has like that pre-interview before the big fight, and the guy's like, oh, look at this guy with a silver spoon in his mouth. And I'm like, well, he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but you know, you got a point that like this movie kind of wants you to root for the Nepo baby against like these people that have just been working really hard at boxing.
It is a very different dynamic from what Rocky had, because Rocky was a true underdog story in that it's almost magical in the way that he was like chosen by fate to go and like step up into this major moment, whereas Creed is less of a underdog story and more of a shoe leather movie. All right, this is about how
what is a shoe leather
movie? It means putting in the work. It means we are watching somebody like go about their day to day and like putting in the effort that it takes to do this job, right? If you want to be good at boxing, this is the amount of time you have to train. That's why this movie has so many montages. That's why we have to see so much of him working out and like see him in the ring, because we're seeing how the sausage gets made. It's less of a magical story of like a nobody who becomes a somebody. It's a really talented guy who has his demons that he needs to wrestle with, and the just the sheer amount of hard work he needs to put in to succeed. So it's a very interesting dynamic. Well, it's totally, I think, different.
It's also like Rocky, it's really interesting because like they didn't do as like heavily implied as like when Rocky was yelling at Mickey in the first movie about like, no one was there for me, no one gave me a shot, no one was there when I was coming up. And so he was definitely like reluctant in this movie to take him on. And also like the pain of losing his friend and seeing his friend go into the boxing match, the boxing world, when you're like, and it's really interesting because like his own father-son relationship, his son is so far and so distant from being a boxer that it's hard for him to connect.
Yeah.
It's hard for him to connect to these office worker types.
Absolutely.
To Sid's point though, absolutely Nepo baby.
Look, you know,
like the only reason why Rocky trained him was because he was his friend's kid, came from money, had a really nice job, quit that job to go find himself.
I just wanted a dumb little save the cat moment in the beginning of the movie that was just like, yeah, this guy's troubled, but we're rooting for him, you know? And it felt like it was missing that for me. That's my only gripe.
I think we get that with like him caring for Rocky during his treatment. I feel like
him pushing Rocky late in the movie.
Oh yeah, but you know, he needs to grow. We need to kind of see that he is this flawed person so that we can see him grow a little bit and like
root
for him.
I want to change the subject for a little bit and go to the romance.
Please.
And how different the romance is from Rocky and Adrian.
So different.
At the same time, there is a key romance, and I always think it's very strong of these Rocky movies to have, I mean, except for, remember, I was so pissed off about last week's
Rocky
one.
Balboa.
With the threat of the romance that never really came around.
Yeah. But it was so interesting because Bianca is such a different character than Adrian. She's definitely updated, a modern person with a modern sensibility. And she did break up with him for a while, which I was like, dude deserves to be broken up with, man. He's fucking...
Yeah, he kind of let his temper get the hold of him. And I do absolutely love this Tessa Thompson performance. Like, yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly right. She is... We still get kind of the sweetness of the romance of Adrian and Rocky, but she feels so different. She's so confident. She's very successful in her own regard. You know, she doesn't have to like tie her fate to Creed in any way for her to be a star.
And I think her character kind of helps set the vibe of the movie because, like I was saying earlier, like the movie does feel like it's taking place in relatively modern times.
It is, yeah.
You've got, like, modern music playing. She's a musician. They're playing around. She's playing some of her music. The places that they go to and the music in the soundtrack are all very rooted in that, like, kind of modern electro hip hoppy kind of world.
Yeah.
And so it definitely does a good job of dating the movie without early 2000s dating the movie.
Right.
Which every movie that came out in the early 2000s, you very quickly
The 2010s.
Yeah, 2015.
This movie, you know, it's not, doesn't have any of those cliche things like having like a Limp Bizkit song in it or something, which if you go back, there's so many movies like even Charlie's Angels.
I do think it's like, really funny that they there is sort of like the street culture of like riding on dirt bikes, but I thought I think the last montage where he's like running through the streets of Philly,
just like gathering
love that moment so much.
I love the music and I love it, but it's also ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because
do you know how, like, have you ever been to the Rot Rally downtown?
No.
Okay, like they're so loud.
Oh yeah.
You can't conceivably think because these machines are so fucking loud. But I just thought it was really like, there's nothing, for some reason, whenever someone pops a wheelie, I'm just like, come on.
I love that because you just need a little touch of the operatic in a Rocky movie, right? Like, you know, to at least pay homage to the very silly sequels, you know, you need just a little bit larger than life. And I mean,
and I think it goes to show something too. Because in this movie, unlike the previous movies, Adonis is new to Philly.
Like,
the movie takes place in L.A. for a little bit, then shifts entirely to Philadelphia. And he starts off the movie not really knowing anybody. Mm-hmm. And then it isn't until you start to see things changing as things happen, where people start like recognizing him. Kind of starting with the guy outside of the gym when he's kind of having a down day. He just had a falling out with Rocky and his girlfriend and is now like sitting at the gym with nothing to do. And the guy's like, oh, hey, I know you.
Then
going from that to this kind of final montage scene of where like the first few people he's motioning to actually know him.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, who knows if it's just a bunch of people going like, hey, they're doing it, I'll join in.
But I mean,
he has kind of a little bit of sway over people now because he's met people. He knows people.
He does. And this is also my argument for why he's not necessarily a Nepo baby. Because, A, he's really, really trying to make it without using the Creed name at all. Like, he's very conflicted about using that name because he wants to be his own guy.
Well, to play devil's advocate, the one time he pulls it is, again, the biggest time to pull it, to get your personal trainer, basically.
A little bit. You know, he does pull that, like, with Rocky and just kind of tells him, like, this is who I am. And that is definitely a get. Like, if you can get Rocky to train you in boxing, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not using it, like, he's not using that name to draw publicity until it reaches the point where it's like, your name is the only reason we want you in this fight.
How is he paying rent? I guess he's probably savings.
He made a shitload of money in Tijuana.
He was about to get a nice big office.
It did bother me that he just invited himself to Rocky's apartment. At this point, remember, I'm still like struggling to root for this character, and so I'm like, come on, dude, like that's not a cool move. Like,
yeah.
Also, you have money, so like, don't you know?
But I also love that he's just immediately comfortable with Rocky, like maybe excessively. Yeah. Comfortable, but he's kind of cocky and brash in that way, but he's also just immediately like, I speak this guy's language, like we're connected in this way. And there are moments in this movie that I find so sweet, such as like he wins his first big fight and they're like, yeah, we're gonna go do up the town, and then we hard cut to them falling asleep on the couch watching Skyfall with like six pints of ice cream in front of them. I'm just looking at that. I'm like, that is so my vibe. Like, that's how I would celebrate. I would sit on the couch. I would watch Skyfall, and I would like pass out.
Is that close to what I'm gonna do after I go home?
Probably. Yeah, it's not.
Watching a lot of James Bond movies, and boy, if I stocked up on ice cream recently.
There you go.
Where'd you get it from?
HEB.
Okay.
What's your poison?
So I was trying new things. The one I got is like something over Texas, and it's cookies and cream and chocolate chip cookie dough combine.
Interesting.
That's too many cookies.
Are you guys reading from ad copy? Am I supposed to join in?
Yes.
What's your ice cream of choice, Sid?
Oh,
this is brought to you by the Ice Cream Council.
I do like Stephen Colbert's ice cream.
That's weirdly good. The cone, weirdly good. Yeah, the cone is so good. The Ben and Jerry's cone.
For
yeah.
more corporate promotion.
Ben and Jerry's pay us, please. Yeah.
Ben and Jerry's, I love the half-baked. I love the getting the cookie dough and the brownies. It just hits the spot.
Whenever I'm at the store and I'm looking at ice cream and I'm like, oh, Ben and Jerry's, I look at the price and then I look over and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to get HEB brand.
Yeah.
And we'll find something.
Ice cream of choice, Steve?
Oh, man. See, again, we're just in a Ben and Jerry's vein, but fish food comes to mind. Have you had fish food? Like named after the shitty band, but there's like a marshmallow core going through it and little chocolate fish. It's so good.
I used to really love Cherry Garcia, but I haven't had it in a long time.
Here's a controversial thing for somebody from Washington. I don't like cherries.
I think
cherries are
you
gross.
Love cherries.
I don't like them.
I'm from Michigan, here's which I would say Michigan cherries are better than Washington cherries.
Excuse me.
I put through down the gauntlet.
Here's
the thing, not liking cherries makes me very popular because anytime I get like something from Sonic or if I go to I get an ice cream sundae,
cherry on.
Everybody wants my cherry and they can have it.
That's how I am with oatmeal raisin cookies.
Okay,
because I fucking love them.
You and Ailish both. You're both 80-year-old men who are young people. Anyway,
Werther's Original Rocky. That one time. There's a bowl of Werther's Original on the table.
We still have some in the cabinet.
One more thing about the movie that has to...
See, you're already good at this. You're already good at getting back
mentioned
on track.
Because I spent a lot of time like talking shit about this movie. Yeah. But I did really like it. Good, and the thing that I loved the most was the cinematography. Like, solid throughout. From the very first shot, I was invested. Like... what a great! I wasn't bothered by the long oners. I'm like, yeah, come on, give me more of that, you know, like, and just like every, they have some really attractive people on camera, and the cameraman knows that, like, they are, you know, portrayed very well, and it's just like all the fight scenes have really clean choreography and really clean camera work.
Yeah,
and there are genuinely like shots where they held on certain things where I'm just like, yeah.
There's a really interesting. There's Creed does the Rocky punch in a more restrained way, which I thought was a really interesting choice, like from like the choreography to sort of like have them do this restrained. Hyperextended Rocky punch.
Yeah.
Because the hyperextended Rocky punch is actually, like, I think pretty bad for a boxer.
It
looks great on film. And the end fight was so interesting. Like, I think it was the homage back to the first Rocky where, of course, he didn't win the fight, but he goes toe-to-toe. And I just felt like that. There was definitely that little homage to Raging Bull in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Just, like, doing, like, the sound fading out and the focus going in. But, yeah, it was just, like, it was such a good, fight. Like, they really do know how to use these fight scenes in these like really dramatic ways.
Yeah, and I feel like the cinematography feels like an evolution of the Rocky cinematography because, again, like Sid was saying, they know when to extend a shot a little bit. Like they do such a good job of balancing all of that, which is something that I really enjoyed in Rocky I and Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
And watching this movie, you could watch it and not you could watch it, you could watch them all in a row, I feel, and then watching this one, the cinematography fits in.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's a fully different director, fully different, like, it doesn't seem like a movie that Rocky didn't, or that Sylvester Stallone didn't pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels very much like in keeping with the spirit of the whole series while still like forging its own thing. I think it's so sick. We haven't even mentioned his opponent. Tony Bellew, he plays Pretty Ricky Conlan, a real life boxer. I think this is his only, well, no, he appears in, I think, Creed 3 again because they become friends after that. That's my favorite thing about all these boxing movies is they become like they're fierce rivals the whole movie. And then at the end, they're like, dude, we're best bros now. We're the best. We're buddies. He even becomes friends with Drago's kid as it goes on. But we'll get to that. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, I think he's really good. He's really intense and like realistically intimidating, you know, and
they don't go super over the top with this character like they have with some of the other villains, but he is a guy who is about to go to prison and doesn't really have anything to lose, you know, which makes for an interesting dynamic of like, he doesn't really have anything to gain, but he has nothing to lose. So
he's got being done up for gun possession in the UK.
Yeah.
Like, you have to work real hard to get a gun in the UK.
You do.
Like, it was so stupid. I was like, why are you carrying a gun in the UK if you're a boxer? Just punch someone.
Just punch him real hard.
I don't know how it normally works, but he was given a lot of time.
Yeah.
Before going to jail.
He was.
He had like 6 months plus.
That's how long a trial normally takes. So.
Yeah.
But made bail and probably.
I guess.
I just liked how all of the people on his side just had very strong Scouse accents.
Yeah.
Clearly tell.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. Just this, like, kind of like down home British lad who's just like ready to start shit, you know? And I think they're a good match in that because they're both kind of guys who have let their anger sort of take over them in a lot of ways, and who have this kind of same sort of angry energy that they're bringing to the fight. And
it's so interesting the difference in the fight between like Apollo Creed and Rocky in the first one, the first sort of the thing, and Rocky's just really grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah,
and then you have these two people who are just like obnoxious, like they're both obnoxious in this.
Yeah, they're
like,
both brash. Of them are
obnoxious, and like, and he's also talking over Creed, which I just like, it's so fucking annoying. So I could see why he was getting pissed off, but it was like both of them were just jerks.
Yeah, no, they
are
really
you saying
were.
That you also would have fought him?
No, I wouldn't have fought him. Fuck him.
You should fight us
be
because
louder
we,
than
cut
anyone.
Over. We cut over.
I know how to project my voice.
It's very true. It's very true. Yeah, but I think this final fight is really technically impressive. I think it's so grody the way his eye swells shut by
it
the
does.
End of this.
Well, and it's really interesting because like we talked about this a little bit last week and the weekend before, but this time they had two women to cut to being distressed, but both of them weren't as distressed as like Adrian or like the little Marie that I just. Ooh.
Does that count for the Bechdel test? Is two women?
Does two women.
They didn't have a conversation.
They're on opposite coasts.
They never had a conversation together.
Yeah.
They were shown briefly.
They were both shown briefly.
Every time they were shown, they were looking at a
and
man.
And it was really interesting. Like the Rashid? No. What's her name again?
Felicia Rashad, former Mrs. Huxtable in the Cosby Show.
She started off drinking red wine and then she switched to white during the fight. I'm like, how many glasses of wine did you like?
You
were going to
have
through
a
whole
headache.
Bottle? Like,
just because we brought it up, this movie does not come close to passing the Bechdel test.
No, it really doesn't, but you know.
It doesn't even attempt it.
No.
Neither does the original Rocky or Rocky Balboa.
Again, what it needs to do in movies like this, this is a good example of the Mako Mori test, which was invented after the movie Pacific Rim. The Pacific Rim has one female character named Mako Mori, but she is still developed even though she doesn't need to interact with other women, you know? So that's kind of the test, because some movies are only going to have so many female roles. And I think Tessa Thompson is still a well-developed, like, independent character with agency. I think she is. I'm gonna
I think
say
she could have had some
she's
more time.
Very much the cool girl.
Yes,
like she like I like her character, but she's definitely like a fantasy figure of being like this badass really cool musical lady.
Yeah,
that you know forgives him.
Badass really cool musical lady.
Do they justify?
I think musical people are super cool.
No, I just thought like musician, musical lady.
Do they justify why she forgives him? Because I feel like she's like
Rocky interceded.
Okay.
Yeah, that
off
that
screen.
Up.
Yeah,
Rocky interceded.
It also must be said again.
I don't know.
He's very hot. You know, it has to be said again.
Yeah.
Did you see him during that fight? Dude was jacked.
He is.
Like this was like a woman that's like, hey, my neighbor's kind of into me, and he's really hot, so let's go out with him. And then she realizes, oh, this man is physically violent. Let me pump the brakes here a little bit. And then like. He apologizes, which is good, but, like, I really wanted there to be, like, a little bit more sacrifice on his end for that to be resolved, right?
Fair.
To have it resolved through no direct effort of his own.
A lot of it, you know, is kind of conveyed in the fact that I think their chemistry is off the charts, like, in this
movie.
Yeah,
their chemistry
and
is ridiculous.
I think it just really goes a long way. You can really see that these two people are
Tessa
super
Thompson
drawn to
has
each other.
chemistry with every human
being. That's because the actors are both very like attractive, charismatic people. I don't think the characters are written in that way. That's just my take.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I think they brought a lot of that to the characters.
Yeah, I think they brought a lot of the sexiness to the characters. Well, and also they did care about each other. Like, I do love... I'm such a sucker. So, you know, like when you come to cliches and you're like, oh, this cliche is so cliche. And you're like, the other times you come to a cliche and you're like, fuck me, this cliche gets me every time.
This cliche is working.
I love when they share music on a single headset.
Yeah.
I love it so much. And I'm just like, it's so romantic.
It's not AirPods, though.
What I like about the love story is that it gives us an opportunity to see a different side of Donnie.
Yeah. Because
otherwise, he is just like, I want to box. I want to be the best boxer. I want to train really hard. I have daddy issues. Yeah. Like, that is his whole thing. And, like, just the moments where he's with Bianca, is that her name?
Yeah.
Like, those moments are, we see him be, like, a genuine person, a multifaceted thing. And but like it's that love story is very like to the side in this movie like the heart of this movie, like I said, is his relationship with Rocky.
It is,
as it should be.
It should be You know, and Rocky doesn't get many more at bats. He is a major part of part two, but that is his last movie. I think that is meant to be the last Rocky movie. He's not in Creed 3 at all.
They had creative differences for Rocky 3.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan, I think, wrote and directed the third movie as well. So he, like, he's kind of taken over the franchise.
Stallone said that it was too dark, that he preferred his heroes to be a little bit optimistic.
Yeah, and they also conclude the story of Rocky in a pretty like interesting way. Spoilers. Like a pretty, I mean, you know, he doesn't
die.
No, he doesn't die.
Spoilers.
He dies. I don't know what you wanted to tell you. He's a Schrodinger's Rocky. You know, you won't know until you see the movie. He's currently both alive and dead. Well, we should talk about the game a little bit, because I can continue going on about the movie, but I think this game is interesting in a lot of ways too, because this is our very first VR game, and I think we kind of threw ourselves into it, or at least I know I did. So this game is called Creed Rise to Glory, and it was released September 25th, 2018. It's developed and published by Servios, and it's released on Windows, PS4, PS5, PSVR, Oculus Quest, and PSVR 2. We played this on the Oculus Quest.
Don't you mean the Meta Quest?
Oh, excuse me. This is our first time playing a VR game on the show. I think we'll have a few more. There's like an Iron Man game and like something else that I think falls into this category. But this is one that really feels built around the VR in an interesting way, in that... you really stand the risk of falling down and or hurting yourself, which I think is part of the whole VR experience, really, when you get down to it.
Punching your bookshelf.
Yeah, or there was only one situation where anything sketchy happened.
None of those books ever do to you.
I'll cop to it right now. I threw a particularly vicious haymaker, and I punched my bookshelf because I was a good distance closer to it than I thought I was.
Steve gets a knockdown, and I go, teabag him, jokingly. And Steve walks up, like, sits on the guy's chest, and then goes to just fucking punch him in the face, and it's his bookcase.
Yeah, I clocked the bookcase.
For any listeners curious, it was the Stephen King shelf.
It was the Stephen King shelf.
Stephen King shelf.
You know, I've got a lot of anger towards that guy. That's why I keep buying his books, you know? Yeah, it's a whole problem. But either way, I'm fine. This is a kind of exactly what you want from a VR boxing game. You know, you're going to be using your fists as fists, and you're going to be going through training montages that kind of test your speed and your agility.
Those training montages, I did so bad at the one I did, because half of the time I threw a punch, it didn't connect because my arms weren't long enough, and it made me sad as I was doing it. I was like, oh no, I'm sorry.
So I should add, none of you really have much experience with VR prior to this, right? Like,
no,
you haven't done too much?
Just a little bit. And I was really skeptical because, like, I've previously experienced with VR, like, I got really nauseous and, like, it was just awful. And so I was going into this with, like, preconceived notions expectations that this was going to suck. Mm. And it wasn't so bad.
No, no.
I'm unfamiliar with more recent VR titles, but like 5 years ago, I had a roommate that had a VR headset.
Okay.
So that era of PlayStation VR, I'm somewhat familiar with.
Okay. All right. All right.
I have gotten in one round of Crab Rave Beat Saber, and that's the extent of VR.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and I do
what
not.
What is that game?
Beat Saber?
Beat Saber?
Oh, I can show you some. It's like a Guitar Hero style thing.
Yeah, it's a Guitar Hero thing where technically you're holding two swords, and it'll be like a downward facing one. Yeah, sabers. And then you go down, and there's one facing the right, and then you go right. Sometimes there's two facing the right. Oh, I
you got to slash the blocks that fly at you.
And so, you're hitting arrow boxes that are coming at you to the beat, which is why it's called
Beat Saber. We could absolutely show it to you.
Do they have any Creed songs?
Oh, God, they might. They might. There's an Interscope Records like mixtape that has a Limp Bizkit song on there.
I was
I
about
that.
To say, do you know who else is on
Interscope
Records?
Limp Bizkit is on
there. Well, not anymore. But in their heyday, they were.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they are on this mixtape. So we can show you Beat Saber if you want.
Should
but,
we pause the podcast and go play Creed Beat Saber?
And then I'll do a Limp Bizkit.
Fair enough.
And we're back.
And we're back. We did it. Everyone's satisfied.
But I was really surprised that I actually liked the game because I wear glasses. So like also VR with glasses is interesting.
Yeah.
But I didn't get nauseous at all. And I felt like I was doing, I'm glad I had people to tell me if I was like going to hit something.
Yeah.
But
this one in particular, it seems easy to turn yourself around, all right? Because the two modes that you're sort of splitting between when you're playing career mode is you set up fights, and before the fight, you're going to have a little training montage where you play a couple of little mini games. Depending on how well you do on that, you'll get a stat boost for the fight. And then you go into the fight, and it is just kind of much the same. You're just throwing punches the way you would in real life. If he's blocking his face, you hit his body. If he's blocking his body, you hit his face. That's kind of
go for the nuts.
The fundamentals
of it. Not an option.
You can't hit the nuts. At least they like. I don't know. It was so annoying because like Justin like was cheating horribly
in the first fight. And, like, I knocked the dude down, and as he was coming back up, I think that there's a portion of time where they're like invulnerable and you can't punch them. But he wasn't even halfway back up when that invulnerability lifted, and I fucking smashed the dude.
You did. And we should mention, he's a weird little leprechaun.
He was a little
Everybody
leprechaun.
Else seems to be a character, like an exaggerated version of a character from the movie. But your first component you're going to fight is a little guy with like vibrant red hair and an Irish accent named Scraps O'Grady.
Steve introduced him as a leprechaun, and I'm like, yeah, okay, just because he's short and he's got red hair and a red beard and he's wearing all green, and then he spoke and it was a very strong Irish accent. I was like, oh God.
And it was a very bad Irish accent. They did not hire an actual Irish person for that accent.
No,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
They found the one ginger in the office and they're like, You know Irish accents, right?
Why does the voice actor have to be a ginger?
Because that you can tell. You can tell.
You can tell that there was no soul behind those words.
Wow. No ginger hate.
Yeah, there's no ginger representation in this house at this moment. So we got to
get smacked
there.
In the back of the head. I'm not paying attention.
Yes. But, like I said, this game just kind of does what you want it to do. Like, most good VR games are going to feel a little bit like a workout because you're swinging your arms around and you're, getting real into it.
But yeah.
The magic trick that any Oculus game could pull out is that, like, you do feel a little bit like the person you're pretending after a bit. Like, were all of you strutting? I was strutting after every time I won a fight. Like,
Sid,
I was holding
Sid
my
was
gloves
literally,
up.
Like, bouncing between, like, popping a little bit, like, ready
you
to go.
You have to get into it.
You got to get into it, and it's pretty easy to do, right?
So, this is, I think this falls into this thing that, like, Wii Sports had.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're supposed to move your whole arms and do the motion as if you're playing the sport.
Yeah.
But you only have to get a little bit into the game before you realize, actually, if I only move my wrists, it does the same thing and actually does it slightly better.
A little more accurate,
I just smacked the mic.
Like, and I think a lot of VR falls into the same category. It's the same type of thing where, like, if you want to actually have fun with it, do it the way it's intended, not yeah. the way that it's going
to
make you
win. Yeah.
Yeah, commit to it. Commit to the role play of the VR. Well,
and
in
I have
a way.
To say,
yeah.
I was very happy that it, unlike last week's game, Rocky Balboa, we didn't have to go 12 or 10 rounds.
Yeah.
yeah.
Usually, like, I went the longest and I knocked, well, my opponent was really good, a giant.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you guys got the easy ones.
Yeah.
But, like, I only went to two rounds and it was just like a, like, really intense. It was like, and everyone else was like, I was just really glad because Rocky Balboa going 10 rounds was exhausting and that was just sitting on your butt playing a video
game. That's yeah. the biggest thing was between this and that was the pacing was so much quicker because your punches are thrown in real time.
Yeah.
They're not press a button, punch goes. And Rocky Balboa, it felt like it was moving at like 80% speed.
Oh, yeah.
And so it definitely felt like things were moving slower. This one, it was moving faster. The only problem that I had with it was that you could hold the buttons and then you could like act like you're walking and you walk around. Or you could just use the thumbstick.
Uh-huh.
And that will walk you around too. But looking around, there's the right thumbstick that allows you to turn the camera as if you were turning physically.
Yeah.
Except it only goes in like 10 to like 20 degree increments.
Yeah, little frame.
And so you know, it's yeah. very clunky and you can't hit that sweet spot of exactly where you want to look, which is why we just kept turning around and around and around.
And to be fair, that may be something we can turn off in the game. I think they build that into most VR games because people do get motion sickness looking around like that. So it could be something we could turn off.
To just contextualize it a little bit, like with VR, especially like first, second generation VR, and this game came out 2019, I think.
Yeah.
So what, like all those games, the technology just wasn't there for it, so people couldn't really do VR for more than like 15 to 20 minutes. That
yeah.
was most people's limit before they got motion sick or just tired of like carrying the thing on their head. So a lot of VR of that era is just meant to be like a 15-minute game.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of falls into that category.
I think so, yeah. Because there's also, it needs to be said, like, I think this game is very responsive and it's very fun.
Yeah.
But it does have kind of a button-mashy quality to it where, like, if you flail your arms around wildly, you'll probably do okay. Again, it is more fun to commit to it and just like throw punches like you're actually throwing punches. But you can probably do all right because there is a system in place where like your character will get tired if you take too many hits. Your gloves will start glowing and you need to stop moving for a second to get your stamina back. But it kind of didn't super matter. Like
no.
You can punch hard and fast enough.
And it was definitely, I would say on, like, I know it was on normal difficulty, but it was definitely, we all won our
matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First try. We're just that good.
I have not taken longer than one round to defeat any opponent
if
yet.
If any other four-person podcasting group out there wants to do a street fight, we'll win.
I think we're ready.
Yeah, that was all the training we needed. We had montages.
Yeah.
I think it would be hard to, like, recommend this game simply because I bet there are way better boxing VR games out right now.
There may be. Like,
it absolutely seems like a genre that would be.
I checked out the reviews on Meta, and like the people, some guy was like, "I've been playing this game for 3 years. It's still the best boxing game on VR."
Well, there you go. According to that guy,
Maybe
that guy's just really into the Rocky franchise.
I mean, the VR has kind of gone largely like the fitness game route, like especially if you're just kind of downloading things for the main system, like it's a lot of Beat Saber. It's kind of a fitness game, and
they're
like,
still
yeah.
figuring stuff out.
They so are
the, like fitness games, rhythm games. These are things that work really well in the VR space.
Yeah.
But I think like as the technology gets better and just figuring out what sort of control schemes are intuitive for people, it's just gonna like I could be wrong, but I feel like especially over the pandemic, like VR just got so many improvements that
yeah it did.
I
yes.
would think that modern VR is just because of how fast the genre is moving, this is probably pretty outdated,
and it is something, you know, I love
playing the VR games that I play, but I do have to do them in small bursts, and like it sometimes it takes like a little bit of setup and a little bit more work than just like popping on a PS5 game and playing that. So I don't dig into it as much as I should. But I've had some really transcendent like experiences gaming on VR. Like there's a Half-Life game called Half-Life Alyx, which is unbelievable. It is so good. There's like Resident Evil 4 has been ported onto that. That feels amazing. Like it's super scary and intense. Super Hot is one of my favorite VR games ever. Oh, like
I've played it on PC and it was such a good time.
Super Hot is a blast.
What's like, Super Hot about?
Basically, it's a gunfight simulator, but like when you move, time moves. Yeah. When you hold still, time holds still. So you get to like dodge bullets in real time, oh, cut wow. them in half. Like,
and
you have to strategize very carefully.
It's set up to be done in like cool guy action ways of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you'll have like a knife. You'll walk into the room. And then it's like you can stab, you can throw the knife and then pick up the gun and then shoot the gun and
yeah.
run out of ammo, throw that gun at a guy, take his gun. It's really like cool,
like
slow
Scarface.
Stuff.
It's yeah. an action game. It's an action game, but it feels like a puzzle game sometimes.
It does.
You will be frozen in an awkward position, assessing your surroundings and being like,
yes.
what can I reach? What can I use to deflect this bullet? How can I take that guy out?
Can I kill this person with a shoe?
It's not a realistic in terms of graphics game. It's more like very
it's
arcade.
Very stylist. Yeah.
Very style. And you are playing through levels. So like once you get to the end of the level, you'll start the next one. And sometimes you'll start in the center of a room surrounded by like seven guys.
Yeah.
With like a cup or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do I go from here to everybody in the room's been taken out?
Yeah. It's a blast.
And you can punch people.
You can punch
people. Just to connect it back, you can punch people.
You can punch people. Yes, but absolutely. So like
you can punch him in the nuts.
There's a real the Creed game does not let you punch people in the nuts, which is a major failing of that game. But you know, like we mentioned too, there's some mini games in between for training, which I think are always pretty fun. And they are trying to train you in some fundamentals like your speed and your accuracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only one that's not of the montage, it's not a part of standard gameplay, is the treadmill running.
Oh, yeah, which yeah.
I think it's an acceptable one.
But it's like trying to get your cardio up. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
They should have done it on the makes steps. Sense. They should have done it on the steps.
Should have done it on the steps. Oh, my God. Maybe if I'm going to play through the rest
they,
of the game.
They don't
and see
have
if
that many
that
environments
point.
In this game.
It's like, pretty much
it's
all
the
gym.
Gym and the stadiums that you can fight in.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
but it. Not a single woman is in the audience.
Look,
no.
they could only afford one character model.
It's just different shades.
Yeah.
different colors, different texture. That's
it. No, it's in keeping with the movie.
Yeah. 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 There are no two women to talk to each other in this movie. There's one woman who calls you at one point and yells at you in this game. So maybe this one isn't passing the Bechdel
test.
Well,
that one
either.
Woman is supposed to be Bianca.
It's supposed to be Bianca. Yeah. To be clear, they did not get the likeness or voice rights to anybody in this game, except, I think, for the cover art.
Well, they got the likeness of Stallone.
It looked like a Stallone face.
Kinda.
I don't know how.
No, that was definitely an older Stallone face.
I guess, yeah. There's some artistic license.
If I saw
being
that
taken.
Not in a different video game, I would not pick that out as Sylvester Stallone.
Because the voice is way off.
No,
the voice is
way
off. Way,
but
off.
The face is. It is an older Stallone.
Yeah, yeah. It is kind of funny, like when you're playing the VR game and you look down at your arms and it's just like, oh my God, I'm so jacked and my arms are so long.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
But, in the first fight that I did, J-Band immediately goes, he's just wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And then I like, I take a moment, I look around and I'm like, no one else is really wearing, they're all like wearing slacks. And I look down and I'm like, oh, I'm wearing, you know, boxing shorts.
Yeah.
Why is this dude just coming at me in jeans?
He's hardcore.
The other genre of VR game is the one where it's just like, we've created a very pretty environment for you to stand in and look around.
Yeah.
And this is not one of those games.
No, no, no. This is a lot of like brutalist, like drab interiors and...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
At one point, I think it was Sid's fight, the first three rows of like half of the stadium was all people wearing different shades of like
the same shirt.
We should mention that we cast it, so that's why we were able to watch the fights.
Oh yeah, yeah. We can you can cast it from the Oculus to the TV, and there's a little bit of a lag, so it's kind of like annoying to watch.
It's definitely encoding on the fly, obviously, and it doesn't seem to be fully capable of doing that while playing the game.
Yeah,
there were times where there were quality issues and tears and stuff, but you know, it was for people standing there watching, it was perfectly fine.
But I think I'm playing on like a Quest 2 or something like that. I think there's multiple newer iterations of this technology that I'm not playing on.
Got to get that new.
Got to get the new, always.
I don't know. This one's working.
It's working fine. For the amount I use it,
like
it's working
just
fine. Like the PS4. Like that good old PS4. Gotta
What's
love the PS4.
What's the reference of the PS4?
It's a beast. It's been out for like 10 years. It's still perfect.
Still works
fine. The PS5 exists.
It does.
Yeah, but the PS4 is still like really boss.
Yeah.
I mean, my PlayStation 2 still works.
But the PS5 is like 25% more PS.
It has way more. And it looks like a ancient alien monolith, you know? Like it feels like if I leave it on for too long, it's going to open a portal.
It feels like you would have seen it in Prometheus.
It did, very much so. Very much so. All right, do we have any final thoughts on either Creed the movie or Creed Rise to Glory for VR? Are we ready?
I liked the part where Rocky said, "Don't hit the lady."
Yes.
She'll probably drop you, is what he said.
Yeah, well, he's shadow boxing in the hospital. Yeah. I did some perusing, and it looks like people aren't that high on this game in terms of boxing games. People are putting in like a 4 or a 5.
I mean, I think as a exercise game, as like a fun game that's just get you moving and get you throwing punches at your shelf, I think it's pretty good.
Maybe not that last part, but...
Yeah, no, I absolutely encourage everyone to punch their shelves. Like, it's really fun.
Sometimes you have to assert dominance over the furniture.
It thinks it knows so much, you know? Well,
that's what you get for putting Stephen King on it.
I know, it thinks it knows so much.
It's going to read the books.
It scared me. Okay, no. Let's move on to our rankings. Each week, we are ranking the movies and games we watch. So is this a good movie, good game, a bad movie, bad game, or some variant in between? Let's start with our guest. What do you think? Is this a good movie, good game, bad movie, bad game? Where does it land?
Good movie. I liked it.
Good.
The game is like, if you have this generation of VR, and you like boxing games, I guess, sure. Yeah. It's... You know, I would drop a few bucks on it, but like overall, like, am I gonna ever play this game again? Probably not. Yeah. Leaning toward bad game.
Okay. All right. Justin, where do you come down?
Good movie. It was okay game.
Okay.
I think it was fun.
Yeah.
Good movie. Made me tear up, which I get. It gets an extra asterisk for like getting through my cold, dead heart. I think it's not a terrible game, which for a VR game is a fantastic, awesome.
I mean, you were coming here with the expectation of throwing up everywhere.
Yeah, that was my expectation.
That's where your ceiling's at.
I'm glad that I know that Steve's got a carpet shampooer.
Yes.
I think it's interesting how the fact that it made you tear up only gets it an asterisk.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
it requires a footnote elsewhere.
I'm surprised I'm like the strongest defender of this. I think this is a great movie and a really good game. I think this is a very solid experience. I think this movie's a masterpiece.
We each fought around a battle, and then Steve is like, hold on, I want to do another one.
If you would have asked me before I rewatched it, Tay, I would have said this was a great film. I think it's just, it's hard watching it back to back with Rocky and Rocky Balboa.
Interesting.
I feel like, because I do think this is a great movie, but I feel like it's sort of like, the original Rocky is such a behemoth. It's such an amazing film.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I went first. I didn't realize that I thought I had to pick good or bad. That's my only two options.
We never land specifically.
I'm going to stick with good movie.
Okay.
Because it didn't cross over into great for me. I did really enjoy it. And I'll say it's an okay game. It's right in the middle of the road for me.
That works. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. Yeah, we have every variation of like, this is a good movie and this is a splendiferous game.
Sometimes when Justin and I are, I don't know, lazy, we just say it's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. It's a movie.
It's like, yeah, it's a game that exists. It wasn't necessarily a bad game. It was there.
Yeah, but this game was better than it's just a game.
Yeah. All of these were kind of fun. I think I had a lot of fun with this little mini series of Rocky movies and Rocky games. I think
after this, I'm going to go eat some ice cream. Steve's going to go fight some more fights.
Probably. And,
You know, Steve's even wearing contacts today.
I wore contacts, which is freaking people
out,
I
know
think.
The last time I saw you without your glasses.
Probably
and
never.
Not just like taking them off for a moment. So.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. I try and keep them covered all the times. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you so much, Sid, for being here. We really appreciate you coming on and taking a chance on this movie. I kind of like commissioned you into it. I'm like, we want you on the show. Will you watch this movie?
No, I'm so glad I watched it. It was good.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming on. Next week, we are going to be back in Disney territory talking about kind of an important one. We're talking about Tangled from 2010.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah, you forgot we already recorded that, didn't you? Yeah. Or maybe you didn't.
Oh.
You did. Okay, yes.
I just remembered that we talked about it.
We did. We covered it. You don't need to watch it again.
There was buzz about a potential live action, which you might want to add as an addendum.
Oh, God. Yeah. I know they're already making a live action Moana, like, which is why. What are we doing?
I can
they're
see
making
Moana.
A sequel to Moana.
Like, Moana came out like less than 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. 2016. Yeah.
They want to do it while The Rock's still available.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got one more year of being super jacked, and then it's all fallen apart. Like, he's just fallen off his own bones.
Stop the steroids or whatever.
But maybe we'll see a live action Tangled, but we'll definitely see an animated Tangled from 2010, and we're going to play the video game for it as well.
I would hate to see a live action Frozen, because like Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it right.
Hey, you got it. Adele Dazeem.
It's just like, I feel like it would be really hard to get actresses that could carry the same.
They'd probably need to recast. Yeah.
And actresses that can do magic. That's probably the hardest part.
Yeah, because they don't do special effects. They actually just cast magical people to do everything. It's a documentary.
Why do you think it takes so long for Marvel movies to come out? It
takes a while. They got to.
I
want
to audition for one of the people that cuts the ice in the beginning.
Ooh, there you go. There you go.
It's my dream role.
All right, y'all. We will see you all next week for Tangled. Thank you so much. And ding, 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 ding. That's the end of the fight for
Adrian! She's not even in this movie.
She's
not. She's the restaurant.